We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today, I'm chatting with TSBC alum Lisa Sarmento. She's the owner of Tiramisu Papery, a sassy brand located in Nashville that sells greeting cards, gift wraps, pencils, and other gift items. Lisa has had tremendous growth in her business over the last 2 years. She attended our Paper Camp conference in February 2016 and describes those 2 days as the launching point for Tiramisu Papery. Her products are currently carried in hundreds of retail shops throughout the United States and even in Canada. She works with sales reps nationally and has exhibited at several trade shows, including the National Stationery Show, Las Vegas Market, and Dallas Market. On today's episode, Lisa shares her personal story of getting laid off from her high-level advertising agency job and how entrepreneurial gardening and motivation from her son prompted her to start this business. She shares how she connected with sales reps, what she skimped and splurged on at her first trade show, and she reminds us that we can't let fear hold us back from what we want in life or business.
Hey, Lisa, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, you're so welcome, Katie. Thank you for asking.
It'll be fun to tell your story because it's been a lot of fun watching you and the growth explosion that you've had in your business. But I want to start at the beginning. Okay. You were a nationally recognized art director and graphic designer before you started this business. Tell us about your time in the agency and how that led you to become your own boss.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I went to college, graphic design was by hand. And so I was doing it all by hand, which and now I teach college and I try to explain that to them. They still don't get it. Anywho, so I went and got my master's in graphic design. And then I started working in ad agencies, design shops, small boutique-y things. But in 2010, right after the big real estate bubble decided to go pop, we lost a couple of our major clients. And they were the Yum brand, KFC, Taco Bell,
yeah.
And we had to let people go. And so the first people to go were the creative team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, dear God, because I had worked so hard to get to a position where I am a female associate creative director. I wrote down my goals while I was in graduate school about what I wanted to be, and I'm in that spot, and I'm like, yeah, baby, I am doing what I said I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, the rug from underneath me got pulled. I was the breadwinner. So it was really difficult because I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a job. I couldn't even get an entry-level job because I was overqualified, blah, blah, blah. The same story. Girl, I even went to the Mac counter at Macy's and I couldn't get a job because I was overqualified. And
that
I'm like,
that is such a tough position. And I was laid off from my very first job at a PR agency for similar reasons, tech bust and all the things.
Yeah.
And I was still entry level because I was straight out of college, but I had a lot of colleagues that were in the same boat as you, that they had worked their way up the corporate ladder and they just couldn't. There were no positions at their level, but then at the same time, people didn't want to hire them for a lower level because they felt like they'd jet the minute something else opened that was higher.
And it was really, you talk about an ego blow. I sunk into some kind of depression funk. I didn't know what to do. You know, I call my mom. I'm like, what am I doing? I am not good at this anymore. You know, I questioned everything. And then my mom was a hairdresser, and every week she worked on the same little sweet lady's hair. And Miss Mary and Miss Mary's granddaughter lived here in Nashville and was an event planner for a stationery shop.
Okay.
So Mary called her granddaughter, told her what happened. So she reached out to me. It was like, hey, you know, my Nana told me what happened. Do you want to do some invitation design and do some party design for me? I'm like, yes, please. Because at that moment, I'm like, okay, I'm not wasting away.
Right.
So I started doing that kind of stuff. I started doing invitations. Then I got into the bridal thing like everybody else. But that's when I was like, oh, God, no. This is not me. I mean, I didn't mind when a client that was paying you thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to give them their input and tell you what to do. But when it came to a bride with an expectation of thousands of dollars with a $200 budget, she didn't understand. And you're just like, okay, let me back up here. You know, it was really hard for me because I was trying to explain to her, you know, printing, and I was trying to explain to them, well, sweetheart, you know, you wanted this kind of wedding. It's supposed to be upscale, but why are you wanting country fonts? And I'm like,
Right. It's a very different customer base than a corporate client that has money and a team and the resources and behind it.
So I'm laughing at myself going, yeah, no, I'm good. But, you know, I still did it for money and I still freelanced. And I know this is kind of crazy how this all starts. But then 2012, I lost my mom.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was pancreatic cancer and it went pretty damn fast. Diagnosed November 8th, which is my son's birthday, passed away February 6th.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry.
You know, so it was just like, what, 3-4 months at that? So people started sending me cards and like, oh, God can't give you what you can handle, or, you know, she's in a better place. You know, just stuff that I'm looking going, first of all, you don't know me. Second, my mom had me at 21, I think. Yeah, 21. So we grew up together. Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when they were 2. So it was just me and my mom for a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah, that must be
a really hard thing. Oh my gosh. So to see this woman who is so strong, so independent and very outspoken become this very weak, having to depend on somebody, and it killed her spirit, and I saw it. Seeing her go through what she go through, don't tell me God wanted me to deal with that and make me stronger. Just tell me it sucked. Mm-hmm. Tell me to cry. Tell me to get pissed off because I planned everything. Katie, I even went so far and called people from when she went to beauty school with to say their goodbyes. People in every part of her life. And she looked at me. She goes, oh, my God, look at – she's called me a pain in the ass a lot. So I became Nurse PETA. She was like, look, Nurse PETA, what's up your sleeve? I'm like, just trust me on this. You know,
yeah.
I made sure that when she went with peace, with, you know, having those goodbyes. But when people started giving me these cards, I'm like, you just don't know what I just went through. It sucked. Yeah. It literally did. So I started thinking, you know what? Maybe I start making cards. Maybe I start making cards that say, well, this just sucks. Yeah. You know, so I started making cards that were kind of sweet before I went so far as bold as saying it sucked into some of my other sayings. And when I did my first pop-up show with all that, the response was wonderful. And some people were like, you know what? You're right. It just does suck. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm onto something.
Right.
And so I started making more, and my girlfriend was sitting there with me, and she's like, I think this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, I think you're right.
How fascinating. So was this – I mean, this came out of a need, obviously.
Yeah, came out of a need.
It came out of a need, and was it – did you know it was a business from the start, or did you kind of think that it was therapeutic and just something you were doing for your own well-being at that point?
I think it was. I think it was therapeutic and something for my well-being, and I like to call it my fun money, my FU money, if you will, for me to do what I wanted. And then I just didn't really think about it. And then – my girlfriend, oh my gosh, she's a very great entrepreneurial spirit kind of friend. Mm-hmm. She's like, just plant the seeds, see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, keep doing your freelance, keep doing this. Maybe you still do invitations. And I also, you know, like I told you before in the past, I also teach Zumba. Mm-hmm. So she goes, just plant the seeds, see what grows.
Yeah.
Water it all equally, and whatever you're supposed to do is going to rise to the top.
I love that.
And I sat there and I'm like, huh, works for me. So I started doing it, doing my little, I guess you could say, entrepreneurial gardening.
Yeah.
And this is what started growing.
So, okay, you are a hard worker. I've seen you in action.
I don't know.
You have a lot of grit and a lot of hustle. And I believe that that truly has contributed to the rapid growth that you've had in your business. You grew your wholesale accounts very quickly. You brought on sales reps. How did you you even extended to an outside office and then moved it all home, which we can talk about later. But like, how did you make all of these things, you know, you talk about the gardening and seeing what's growing, but how did you make this happen in such a short amount of time?
Well, I think a lot of this kind of contributes to my mom because she always pushed a drive and a work ethic in me that, you know, if you want it, you go get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let's go.
Well, and I like how you talked about in your corporate gig that you had set goals of, you know, you wanted to hit these milestones at certain points. Did you do something like that? Did you lay out specific goals? Once you kind of switched the shift of like in your mind of like, no, this is truly a business. Like, did you lay out some concrete goals for yourself at that point?
Yeah, I did. And you know, it's so funny, like the way I knew this is what I wanted to do, I kind of had it like brewing in my brain. Like I, you know, I went and approached local stores, you know, and when I started seeing them start picking me up, I'm like, okay, let's keep going forward. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny because it's when I went to Tracer Boot Camp, I realized what I needed that whole time to make the jump even more was permission. Mm-hmm. So you and Katie Schaefer gave me that permission and without knowing it to jump. So once I got that, like what I did boot, you know, Trade Show Boot Camp on a weekend, that Monday I signed up for stationery show and I was like, okay, I'm doing this. I remember
you leaving and I remember you emailing me the day after and I was still like, to be totally honest, I need a day or two after camp just to like vent because I'm so like spent from all the talking and stuff. But I remember getting your email and I was like, yes, I know she's going to be able to do this. Like she is so strong-willed and like in a good way, you know, like you're
right.
You set your mind to something and you do it.
I am strong-willed in a bad way too, but that's a whole nother podcast, I guess. But no, I mean like once I did the show, like as I was going, what really helps too is having those friends that know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Bring, you know, it's like my inner circle, if you will. Yep. And I'm like, they're like, why settle for, you know, doing this? You know, why settle for that? So they kept pushing me as I was getting ready for the show. You know what I mean? Like,
is that inner circle people in your personal life or are they people in your business life or is it a mix?
I think it's a mix. It's kind of, think about it like this. Think of a wheel, right? And your wheel has spokes on it and you're in that little middle center and that all the spokes are holding that little center. So I made sure that there's a piece from my family, my friends, professional, my past professional, my therapist, you know, everybody that can help me propel myself to what I wanted to do next.
I love that. You know, there's that phrase too, like surround yourself with people that you know are going to push you in a positive way. And, you know, you're just like the five people you surround. I can't recall what the exact quote is, but it's so true. You do want to surround yourself. I was just more curious of your personal wheelhouse. If it in your inner circle, was it, I found that my inner circle has shifted over the years in different points. You know, it's absolutely encompassed all of those different groupings that you've talked about, but I found that, you know, I'm closer at times with different sides of that circle. So,
and I think as your business grows, the circle does change and you switch out the spokes, if you will. But no, like I went to the show and when I came back, it was such an emotional high. I can't even begin to tell you. And like my emotion can drive me if I'm really passionate about something, like literally like a month after the show, I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I see this is my thing for the rest of my life. I called Karina from Crow and Canary. I'm like, hey, I got a question. How do I get reps? And the way she kind of described it was just like pitching yourself like you would to a store, but just switch it up a little bit. Like
know your audience.
Why you're good for their brand. So I did that. And lo and behold, when I told my story of my why I'm doing what I'm doing, what my end goal is for my business, it was very funny how sales reps connected with me. Mm-hmm. And let me backtrack that.
Yeah, why don't you tell us the story of your why and your goals?
As my wholesale started growing before I went to the show, it gets overwhelming at times. It does, because you're doing the design, the order taking, the billing, the fulfilling, and then you're shipping and da 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 da. So I needed help packing orders. And I looked over at my son, and my son right now, he's 17. So back then it was probably like 14, 15. He's very organized because he's on the spectrum. He's autistic. Mm-hmm. And so he's very rigid, like you do this before you go to that. And no, you can't, you know, very structured. And I looked at him, I was like, hey, buddy, you know that game you want? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, how about this? If you can help me start packing these cards, I'll go buy you that game. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Such a bribery as a mother.
It's labor. It's just a different conversation.
This is kind of different. Anyhow, so I started watching him work. And then it just dawned on me. I'm like, I think I know why I'm going to do this. Because once he turns 18, all services go away. The college education life he's going to have is going to be different from somebody else. Mm-hmm. His work or career path is going to be different. So I'm like, I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm creating this company for him. Mm-hmm. Because he loved his Nana so much, which made me want to make a card that said, well, this just sucks. So why not bring the two together? Mm-hmm. You know, let him know that we're doing this in the honor of his Nana. And let's make a job for him where he will always have something.
Yeah.
So when I went searching for reps and I told them my why, I have one rep group in Chicago. Her daughter's autistic. I have a rep group in Seattle, Washington area. Her son's Fragile X, which is part of the spectrum. So these reps started coming and understanding my why. They're like, I get what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm behind this.
They felt the personal connection because you did share your story and open up. It was more than just, these are my products, these are my cards, this is the type of audience I'm looking to work with, you know?
Exactly. And then I'm finding store owners that are like, yes, I know what you're talking about because mm-hmm. my child is too, or my son's got Downs, my daughter has XYZ. And mm-hmm. they're like, I get you. Mm-hmm. And that to me was huge. So if a rep didn't get it, I couldn't connect with them. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't get it, they didn't want me. That's probably the best thing.
I was going to say, I think that I've had experiences where I forced relationship with a rep where it was like, no, but I didn't feel quite right when we were kind of dating, so to speak, before we signed our contracts, but I went ahead and did it anyway. And then I realized later, I'm like, this is not the right fit. And so I think that's a really great metric for you to be able mm-hmm. to tell your story and see the response. And if it's not just about your son, it's about your business model and your line and your products and all of it. But that is a big part of why you do what you do, obviously. It's the crux of it. But having a metric of some sort when you're reaching out to different partners, whether it's collaboration or a rep or something, it's so important because you want the relationship to succeed because you're spending so much time and effort on it.
And the way I look at my reps is like I told them from day one, I'm like, you're part of my family. You know, be honest with me and I'll be honest with you. And whatever you need, I'll help you and you help me. That's mm-hmm. this is just the way it works. Because I feel like I'm bringing you into my inner circle. And if you don't get this, I can't. And I've already, I know this sounds crazy, but I've already had to let a rep go because she kept going, well, I don't get it. What makes you so different? And I'm like, okay, let's backtrack here. You know, mm-hmm. I told you my why. What? And she couldn't sell my why because she still didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me. And she's like, well, I don't understand why you're letting me go. And I'm like, you're not seeing the big picture.
Yeah.
Because for her, it was about the dollar. It wasn't about growing a business to help my son. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Yeah. You know, I've got other reps that do get it. I've got, oh my gosh, amazing people that get it.
Yeah, of course.
Even my vendors. The vendor situation's been hilarious. Let me tell you. Because with my cards, as you know, they're not the most, what's the word? They're the very colorful wording, right?
You know, I use some the fresh language. Yes.
Yeah. So I have to find printer. I am running into printers who won't work with me because of
interesting.
It. So I finally found one. And when I sat down with him, because I remember I worked with him in my agency career mm-hmm. in the past. And I'm like, dude, help me. And, you know, his son had traumatic brain injury as an infant. They used forceps on him. So he gets why I'm doing what I'm doing because he's a printer. His son's working for him now.
Oh, that's cool.
So he gets it. He goes, Lisa, you can put any word. You can put the F-bomb 20 times. As long as you don't put nipples on there, we are great. I said, I think we're good. You know?
So, that's so funny what people's threshold is or what they're making. Yeah, right? That's funny.
You know, it's like, you mean like I could put F in, you know, fucking yeah. fuck, but I can't put a pair of boobs. Okay, great. We're good. That's and funny. So he supports it. He yeah. understands it. And so even now I'm finding vendors that want to work with me because they see it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you've heard me say this so many times at Paper Camp and in our community and elsewhere, like relationships are so at the heart of what we're doing here. It's in the vendors we work with, the reps we work with, the buyers that buy from us, the end consumer that buys from us on the retail side. Like relationships you need to protect those relationships fiercely. So can we shift gears a little bit and talk sure. about your trade shows? I know you mentioned that you did NSS very quickly. You came to Paper Camp in February. You did the stationery show in May. How many shows have you done at this point?
Hold on. Let's see. I've done the stationery show twice. I've done Vegas twice, Dallas twice, and I just did Atlanta.
All right.
And it's been crazy. Oy.
I always tell people that different shows cater to different buyers and also a different product mix of exhibitors. So how did you decide which shows to go to and which were a good fit for your brand?
Well, I wanted to start with the stationery show first and foremost because I felt like that was a very niche audience to approach. Mm-hmm. And I did primarily have more carts. And I wanted to see what was also going on out there in that paper industry. Mm-hmm. You know, I did do my first show with more than just cards. I did notepads. Right. I did pencils. I did other goods. So I knew like, okay, if they're not going to come in for this, they may come in for that, you know? Or I'm like, which hey, if you know, if you like this, wait till you see it on the wrapping paper, you know, I knew that from my past on how to cross promote things in like in the advertising realm, if you will.
Right, right.
So then from there, I went and I walked the Vegas show first time and I wanted to see what was going on. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. You know, first of all, it was a totally different audience that I was probably going to be hitting because more of the West Coast seems to be more liberal than the South, as we all – come on, let's just be real. and I just kind of felt like this is the next show I wanted to do. So I signed up for that, and I went in with Artisanal LA in nice. Their exhibiting section. Even though I'm not from LA, I talked with them. They learned my purpose. They learned my why, and they're like – absolutely, because they understood it was something not just me trying to make a buck. They knew that I was wanting it for Michael, and they were behind it because my company has some kind of social purpose behind it, if you will.
Right. Yep.
And it blew my mind how accepting I was there.
That's great.
It really was. I mean, everybody was like, and it. What's really funny, it was the same weekend as the Women's March that just came off of that, right? So mm-hmm. In my booth, I have a big old card that says chin up, tits out, right? I can't tell you how many times I sold that over wow. and over and over again because they're like, yeah, girl, you know, you get it. I'm like, exactly. You got to own it. Own who you are. And that's when I was like, this is my audience. These are my people.
You know? It's so fun. Like, it's interesting because to hear the contrast too, because the stationery show, it is very much your people too, in that it's the product right. and the buyers and all that. And it is scary to go to a different show that's more regionally based. It's a different, yes. it's a wider audience of buyers. It's a wider mix of exhibitors with different, I mean, you might be next to a tchotchke type, you know, set of products and you just never know. And I don't know, there's a nice comfort feeling when you do feel like you found your home, your audience, your place.
So funny, you know. And what was great is just like the welcoming nature of everybody else around me, you yeah. know. And then from there, I I'm a good little stalker, by the way. I freelance and design charms for a jewelry company, by the way.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So they were in a showroom in Dallas, and I started being a little stalky, watching the sales reps, and I said, to hell with it. I'm reaching out. And yeah. I was like, hi, my name's Lisa, and I see that, you know, you carry my client, Bella Ryan. I'm their charm designer. And she's like, oh my God. I said, but I also design stationery.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? So she came from a paper background herself. So she was very intrigued. And so lo and behold, we just clicked. She got my why. She knew what my style was by the charms. And mm-hmm. so she's like, you want to be in our showroom? I'm like, yes, I do.
Nice.
You know? So I've been with them now for over a year, and they just get me.
And talk about some great. Of the pros and cons of doing the showroom booths with reps compared to doing it yourself, like
well,
in your own booth.
I think when you're doing it at your own booth, the plus about that is, you know, you are representing you, yeah. right? And you are straight you. But when you are in like a showroom, you're not only representing you, but you're also representing the company itself.
Yep.
So you really have to watch your behavior even more so. And my mouth. Hey. Because this past show, this is great, the side bit, this woman came up to me and went off. It was like, you know what? Your cards disgust me. You are tacky. You are ruining stationery single-handedly. And I'm thinking to myself,
oh my
first
goodness.
Of all, if I could do that and make that money, kudos to me. Second of all, you don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I mean, she hurt me, and I couldn't say anything other than, I'm sorry, ma'am. That's all I could say. Yeah. Whereas if it was in my booth, I would be like, let me tell you something, you know. Let me tell you my why. But it was great because I went to the showroom manager, and I told her what happened, and tears are coming down. She goes, you go find that woman, and you go tell. I'm like, wait, I what? You know,
I can
they
do
got
that?
Me.
Yeah.
So there's that wonderfulness. And also, yeah. too, being in a showroom, you can go take pee breaks without freaking out.
True. And you have other people helping to sell your products. And
exactly.
You're getting to share the different buyers that come in as well. So
exactly. So, but when you're in your own booth, you are really even more amped up on.
Oh, yeah. It's intense.
And when you get done, you're like, oh, dear God, help me.
So
you're so tired.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The days at the shows are so long, but, you know, they can be really fun, too. But they're exhausting.
Yeah.
What was some, going back to stationery show or
yeah.
Where you had your own booth, you weren't in, like, a collective booth or a showroom. What was something for your first show that you splurged on and you maybe paid extra for and you're glad to pay extra for it?
I will have to say it was my foam core walls. I had them print directly onto my walls. I could not believe I did that. And I was like, I can't believe I'm spending this much money. But in the end, it saved me time
mm-hmm.
because I had my logo put up there. But I also had like made like 4.25 by 5.5, you know, rectangles
yep.
all the way through where I can just not have to stand there. And when I was watching everybody else leveling, I was just like, oh, well, smack, 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 smack.
Yeah, put your cards straight on the wall.
Yeah. And I also had my item numbers right underneath it.
That's so
I splurged
smart.
Because I was putting up this stuff by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a time versus money versus also manpower.
Oh, yeah.
Debate with all of these things. What was something that you skimped on that you were like, no, I'm not going to put my money in that?
It was the parkan lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm like, really? Yeah, we'll be fine, you know, because
yeah.
everybody's like, you know, it really brightens up your booth, but I just could not in my gut justify it.
Yeah.
So I just went to Home Depot and bought those cheap clip-ons, spray painted them and like calling it a day.
Nice. That's good too.
You know?
Yeah. Lighting's super important, but you need to find something that works in your budget and highlights your products in the best possible way.
Exactly. And putting up your booth by yourself. My help didn't come till like in like literally till like the day before the show.
Oh wow!
So I'm like, yeah, no,
that's tough.
I'm just gonna do it easy.
Yeah, keep it simple. I come from the West Coast when I do my shows in New York, and I always opted to rent my foam core walls from Mandy Stone Decorators because it saved me an extra night of hotel, an extra day away from my family because I would have to go an extra day early if I was gonna put up my walls. So.
Well, just to tell a secret, I like going an extra day early because I at least plan it to where I can have one day just to decompress before it starts.
Yeah.
You know, and
I would have loved that opportunity, but I was always on like the last flight in and the first flight out, just trying to get home. Everyone would always, I was on always on like a 4:30 flight out on Wednesday and the show closes at like 12:30, but we would break down quick and go. It was like when I first started exhibiting, we didn't have kids, but I had a corporate job and I was trying to minimize vacation days I was taking off. And then when we started having kids, it was like, okay, like this is a long time to be gone. I got to get home for them. So, but everyone's got to do what's best for them. I do definitely recommend, especially first time exhibitors, you add at least 2 days for setup at the front end. If you can add an extra, do it just so that you've got time in case something goes wrong or you just want to take breaks. So,
I would agree because you get there and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I ran out of double sided tape. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, I forgot to get pens to write orders, which I did. You know, it's like,
the good thing is all these shows are in a major city for the most part, and so you can always find something. But
and you can always find somebody with a car that you become instant friends with, like, so you're going to IKEA, can I hitch a ride?
Right.
You know, I'll buy you something to eat, just please.
That's
you
so
know
funny. So what advice would you give to somebody that's starting a product-based business now that you've kind of gone through the weeds yourself and looking back, what would you advise them on?
I think the biggest thing I would probably advise them on is, first and foremost, if you know you want to do it. Just jump. You know what? If you don't try, you'll never know.
Yeah.
You know, I had two students, because I teach college part-time too. See, I do everything, right? And they started a soap business.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so proud of these girls. And they're like, well, what should we do? I said, you just do it. Just do it. You know, if it works, great. If it doesn't, go back to the wheel.
Yeah.
Find something that works for you. And I feel like when you do fail, when you start out a business, you just learn more and kind of go, okay, we'll do that again.
Yeah.
Let's go down a different path. And not to be scared.
Yeah.
Because that fear, man, can cripple you and you'll never move forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I came off of that weekend. I'm like, yep, I'm doing this. I'm doing it now. And, you know, because if I didn't, I would not be where I am.
Yeah. It is true that failure can cause paralysis in a lot of people, myself included. And I think the more we change our mindset around that and try to remember that, no, this is just another learning stepping stone that we're taking. You know, if something doesn't go as planned, we need to switch it up, shift gears, try again, or try something completely different too. But I am a huge fan of jumping into something before you feel 100% ready. Because if you do wait to feel 100% ready, like, the opportunity might have come and gone.
You know, it's very funny. It's just kind of like, you know, the couples that get married after engaged for a month are like, why not? You know, what are we waiting on? You know, and that's kind of how I did the business. Yeah. And actually, that's kind of how I did my marriage. So what else is new?
There you go. Well, I jumped into the stationery show very quickly, too. I started my business in October 2008, and I did the May stationery show in 2009. And I was still figuring out how to structure my wholesale program, how to price my products. Like, we had some major fireproofing issues, which I know I shared with you at Paper Camp.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Oh, that broke my heart.
I know. It still hurts mine. Oh. But we, I guess my point is, like, sometimes you just got to jump and to reiterate what you said and try things and see what fits, see what feels good.
Right. And you know what? And even with my line, I tried doing stuff that was really, really, really sweet, but it really wasn't me. And I know who I am as a person, and I know the woman that raised me. And so I made sure that, like, okay, yeah, that sweet stuff's not me. Yeah. Be you. And that's kind of where I had to learn my ups and downs and figure out what works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and too, as entrepreneurs, we're constantly shifting. Let's be honest here. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're constantly, you know, making changes to our product line. We're constantly making changes to our team if we have one, or maybe the first step was bringing on somebody. You made a shift to your studio space where you moved it outside your home and now back again because logistically it was just easier to have it at home. And,
yes,
you know, I feel like this is not a straight line. Any way you draw it, it's going to be squiggly line, you know, up, down, sideways here.
And you know what? Sometimes that journey is a lot more fun. If it was just straight, it'd be so boring.
True.
And everybody would be doing it. So
good point. So what's next for Tiramisu Paper?
Oh, good Lord. So what's next? Well, right now I've been developing new products to add to the catalog because, you know, we got to keep adding more. I am working a lot with some local companies doing custom lines with my voice strictly for them. And that's been really cool. And then I'm getting ready for Dallas and Atlanta again and really focusing on this business 100% because, like I said, I teach college and our college got acquired by another one. Wow. So we're closing. So it's like I told you earlier, sometimes the universe makes decisions for us.
True.
And I was like, well, here we go. We are really, you know, in it now for the long haul and I'm okay with
it. Good. Yeah. I can even see the peace in your face. I'm like, nope, this is good. This is just, this is going to give me the extra time that you need. Well, give you the extra time that you need to, you know, keep building.
Oh, Katie, let me tell you right now, I teach school all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's nothing but tiramisu.
Wow.
And in between there, I know. And in between there, I make sure I do some self-care. I work out, you know, and I teach my Zumba class because I need to recharge and not think about paper. I don't need to think about orders and I just need a huzzah, if you will.
Excellent. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your line, if they want to connect with you on social media?
My website is just Tiramisu Papery, and I'm always on Instagram at Tiramisu Papery.
Awesome.
Facebook, I've noticed it's just kind of dying down, so I just don't engage as much. Yeah. I know that's horrible, but I've got to work where my social media is, I guess you could say, just really.
You got to go where you're connecting with your audience. I don't think it's terrible. I think we need to focus. There's so many places we can be playing online right now, and we need to focus on where we're making the most impact. So, no, good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for telling your story and sharing your insight of how you've grown your business. We really appreciate it.
You are so sweet. And thank you so much. I mean, like, I am beyond honored. You have no idea.
Thank you.
Hey, friends, I'm hosting a free masterclass where I'll share my top 3 secrets for maximizing your trade show investment, as well as strategies to keep your wholesale orders coming in long after the show ends. This free workshop is for anyone selling physical products, not just stationery brands. And we're going to be talking about large-scale trade shows such as New York Now, Stationery Show, Atlanta's Mart, and many others. If you're interested in joining me for this free workshop, head on over to theboothblueprint.com to register. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.